Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ripley, little finger to the big boss. Man, a.k.a. police, guess I'm over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill, these niggas want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Roll about, but that shit loud. It ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like, nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep with my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axel, so my rap is like Kirk Henning. In it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip. I'm thinking Lawler, cause I'm royalty. But we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking out my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well, you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. Cause I be hopper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Truth picking your eyes. I'm that guy. Hey, y'all. Look. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey, y'all. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me as a ghost. Look, hey yo. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey yo. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's no. Can I bother you with this rhyming? Man, I'm five at niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, argue often with liars. Beside that, I got no choice. Rather be Heath Slater before I make it a doink. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expire. Niggas getting back they bribes, I ain't told in a while. Is you mad or not? Is you rapping her out? She wrapped my cigar, light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison, it's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever, now my stadium's pop. Niggas tweet like they really real, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got it. Oh please, Dwayne Johnson, been number two around these parts. Oh nah, you know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rod. Stop. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye, boy, don't ask why.
Welcome to Wrestling X Factor Radio, your host, Wayne Benitez, joined by co-host, Tommy Two-Chip.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry freaking Christmas. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have the honorable former WWE SmackDown General Manager Teddy Long coming by real soon. And we just want to start off with some tidbits from Raw and Impact.
I have to admit, I've been working 6 days, so, you know, straight, so I haven't had a chance to watch Impact. But Sheamus does not look bad in the suit. So he still, I don't see how it's working, but that's the start. You know, because New Day had a they had kind of like had a celebration for him and everything. So I don't know what they're going to Sheamus thing, but I'm keeping my eye on it.
Yeah, once again, they oversaturated New Day so many times on Raw, and then with this stupid Nations League, Nations or whatever the hell it is, with the international faction, it doesn't do any justice at all. It's like a takeoff where TNA was doing
World Elite
five years ago.
And TNA called it World Elite, right?
Exactly.
And Eric Young was in that one.
Right, and this don't see it a bunch of it's a mid card faction to me. It's and once again, Alberto Del Rio, once he came back, he has a less of a speaking role.
Yeah, he should. He does have good mic skills. I like Del Rio on the mic. I don't know why they don't let him talk. I mean, he speaks good English. I mean, he speaks Spanish too, which is a double plus for him. I would like to hear him, you know, speak, you know, on his own.
Oh, can you hold, let's see, the other line. Yes, Wrestling Net Facts, the radio. Hello?
Tommy T-Chip still
Hello?
Here. Hello? Oh, well, they probably call back. But I like Alberto Del Rio as a wrestler. He's a good wrestler, good worker. Just let him see him talk more on his own.
You know it's the Mac Militant
coming to get it all. Get out of my way, I'm coming with thunder and lightning. Striking, I'm inviting you all to the storm. Feel the pain that I try to contain. My heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it all.
And your heart is breaking, smack, straight with bad. I can see the fear in your eyes every time that I pass. I'm intimidating the most and feared by many.
But don't trip me,
I leave the place empty. You get me? I'm low down, pretty and shifty. I'm low down, people against me. Even the best be afraid, cause I approach it aggressively. Especially when they roll up and test me. Yo, so I'm a disciplined, militant minded.
Last time,
if you look for a style like mine, you can't find it. Call me the M to the HDK. I break moves if you wanna come and make my day. Now say,
hey, get out of my way. I'm coming to thunder and lightning. It's like, and I'm inviting you all to the storm. Feel the pain that I'm trying to contain. My heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it in. Hey, get out of my way. I'm coming to thunder and lightning. It's like, and I'm inviting you all to the storm. Feel the pain that I'm trying to contain. My heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it on.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to have former WWE General Manager of SmackDown. Give it up for Teddy Long.
Woo! Hey, what's going on, Blair?
Hey, welcome to Wrestling Is Back, the radio.
Right. Hey, man, thank you guys for having me, man, and hope everybody's having a good, happy holiday.
Yes. We're definitely having a good holiday coming up. Yes. Were you a wrestling fan growing up before you started in the business?
No, I was never like a big wrestling fan. Back in the day, you know, I kind of followed it, and that's how I got started in wrestling. I used to go down to the TBS studios when they would take the wrestling here in Atlanta with Georgia Championship Wrestling, and which was, you know, /NWA. So I would take my son down there, and we would go watch the TV tapings on Saturday mornings. And by me kept doing that, I got hooked up with Abdullah the Butcher, and he had just come to town. He didn't know his way around, so I was kind of the guy that started showing him around Atlanta. And then I was able to go down to the TV tapings with him on Saturday mornings when they did the taping. And that's how I was able to get in and get in the back where all the guys were. So after I did that for a while, you know, they got comfortable with me, and they let me start going to the ring, getting jackets, and I would go get the jackets and bring them back. And, you know, they were real comfortable, and they started letting me hang around. And so that led to me getting a job as a referee, and a referee to manager, and then I went on from there.
Yes, were there any racism backstage during that time also that you encountered?
Wait, what now?
Any racism in that company, the Crockett's?
Oh, no, I never did come in contact with any of that. You know, I always just... like I said, I was lucky enough to get a job, so when I started refereeing, you know, I always just did my job and did what I was supposed to do, so I didn't encounter none of that.
Right. And it just, me and Tommy Two Chips are African-American. We understand that's how it's kind of tough being an African-American during those times to get into the business also.
All right. Well, you know, I had there were a few people that I had problems with, you know what I mean? But that's just life. I think that's the way it goes. And you know, maybe in every job you may encounter, you know, that somebody always going to be hating on you, you know, due to the color of your skin. But that's going on right now in the world. So, you know, like I said, I did have my problem, but no real major problems, you know, and with the help of God, I was able to go on and be successful and to make it.
Amen. And Taylon, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And I have to admit, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'm marking out right now, just talking to you. I mean, like, this is unfreaking believable.
Oh, that's all right, player. enjoy yourself.
Well, I have to know. You know, you have had a successful career in wrestling. Would you change anything different? Would you go back in time? What would you do different? Are you satisfied about your career right now? I mean, the career
had. Well, I'm really satisfied because in my career, you know, I never did have to come up and be a professional wrestler. Being able to talk, you know, and that got me to where I, you know, am today. So my career was just great. You know, no wrestling involved. I took a lot of bumps when I was a heel because that's what they did. You know, they always get to the heel manager, and sometimes the guy'd have to take bumps. But, you know, that didn't bother me. But I would have never dreamed that I would have been in charge of one of Vince McMahon's companies. I never would have dreamed that would have happened. So, you know, all that was a big surprise to me. So that's why I say, my career went straight on to the top. I was there in WWE for 15 years. I was in charge of SmackDown there for 9 years, and so that's longer than some guys have been world champion. So I made it, you know, and like I said, I'm not angry and mad at nobody. I just want to thank the WWE for giving me the opportunity that they gave me, and so I was able to make it and prove to the naysayers and the people that said I had no talent. We all proved them wrong, thanks to Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah, amen. Good testimony. That's a good testimony. Out of all the tag teams you managed, would you consider Doom your best? Your best, the greatest tag team you ever managed?
Well, yes, I would. I would have to say that. Excuse me. Yeah, I would have to say that. I think Doom, Butch Reed, and Ron Simmons were the best tag team that I'd ever had. You know, not taking nothing away from Sid Vicious and Danny Spivey, which were the Skyscrapers. We also had Undertaker. He was involved in that at one time, too. So taking nothing mm-hmm. away from those guys. But Butch and Ron were great to work with. We had a lot of fun. And it was just great, man, you know. And I was just glad to be able to have such a team like that to be able to manage them, man. They were good.
And how was it hanging around with Ron Simmons? I mean, in 1992, he became the first black, you know, world heavyweight champion in wrestling. You were still there at the company when he became champion. How did that make you feel, him becoming the first black, heavyweight wrestling champion?
Well, you know, I was real happy for Ron, and I was real happy for the Afro-American race because, you know, we never had a black world champion. But basically, you know, it wasn't really all about being the first black world champion. It was about being the champion, you know, him being the man to carry the title. So, you know, like I said, it was great for the black, you know, people, you know, that had never seen a black world, that had never had a black world champion before, you know. We had a chance to play to a lot of the black audiences, and I think that we drew a lot of people. A lot of people started coming out and started coming to wrestling because of us, you know. So mm-hmm. I think it was great, man. I feel good about Ron, you know, being able to make it to the top like that, man, and being successful, and I was real happy for him.
Yeah, I was excited when he became champion. I was a Ron Simmons fan, you know, when he was champion, and even when he was, with Bradshaw and the Acolytes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I had a chance to ride with them, too. When I first went to work for Vince in 1998, they were there, and they were the Acolytes, so I had a chance to ride in the car with him and Bradshaw. And, brother, I tell you, what a fiasco that was. Well, we had a lot of fun.
And I love managers as Wayne. We love good managers. I mean, when you were in WCW managing Doom, they were, you know, you had James Cornette, you had Bobby the Brain Heenan in WWE, you had a lot of managers. Why do you don't see any managers anymore? And what does a person need to do to be a manager, a successful manager in today's PG-13 era?
Well, to answer the first question now, this is my opinion. I don't think we see any managers. Now, there's a few. You see, you got Paulie Dangerously. You know, he's still around. Paul Heyman, he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
They had started phasing that out, you know, phasing managers out. They didn't want that anymore. You know, like everything, you know, everything runs its course. You know, for me being general manager, you know, to the company, they felt that it was time to get away from that, that they had ran with general manager long enough, so they wanted to make a change and go in another direction. So, managers are not around because I think it's kind of old school to Vince, and he tries to sometimes get away from the old school and try to bring in new stuff. But in my opinion, I think you can always use a manager, especially if you got a guy that can talk. My opinion right now, I think would it really help Roman Reigns is that if he had a good mouthpiece, you know what I mean? I think that's what he needs to get him over. You know, he looks good, you know, he great athletic ability, you know, as far as his mic skills, you know, they're just kind of timid. But if he had somebody with a strong voice, I think that would help him a lot. And, with managing, you know, if you wanted to get involved in that, you know, I think the first thing you need to do, you know, they got a school down there in Orlando, Florida, the NXT, and they've got people there to train you to be a manager. They've got people there to train you to be a referee or train you to be a wrestler, whatever you are, you know, you set out that you want to be, you know. But NXT would be the place for you to get involved in if you wanted to become a manager.
Ah, I see. That's good to know.
Yes. What is your memories of the Crockett buying UWF? Was it a lot of animosity in the locker room?
Well, no, I don't think so. At that time, you know, I wasn't really involved in what you say the locker room part. You know, I was just a referee. You know, so I didn't know too much about really, you know, the hardcore stuff that was going on. But to my memory, I think that there were a lot of guys that were happy, you know, that Crockett did do that. You know, they got a chance to come over and make a little bit more money. And there were some guys, I imagine, that wasn't happy with it. You know, those were probably the guys that Jim Crockett didn't want. And that happens in everything, you know, with like when Vince bought WCW, you know, he didn't take everybody that they had. There were some people that he wanted and some he didn't. So, you know, it's always going to be some animosity because, everybody, you know, in all locker rooms, there's got to be one guy that thinks he's better than everybody else. So that's just life. So, but I think, you know, it worked out all right. I was glad to be a part of that era. I met a lot of people and learned a lot.
I wish you had a chance to meet Ted Turner when he purchased the Crockett Promotions.
Yeah, I had a chance to see him. In fact, I have a picture here in my house now with me and Ted. Yeah, I had a chance to talk. Well, I met him on several occasions. I met him once, and on just him by himself, I had a chance to go up to his office and talk to him. Another time, Dusty Rhodes wanted to show Ted Turner, and I think at that time he was married to Jane Fonda. He was wanting to show Ted some new characters and which direction we were going to go in, and that was at the time that I had Johnny B. Badd. And so we went to meet Ted Turner and Jane Fonda and up in, I think we were in Ted's office, I believe what it was. And so I had a chance to meet him there. But, yeah, he seemed to be a pretty nice guy. I mean, I saw him on several occasions just, you know, basically speaking to him. And he always spoke, and he was just a nice guy, as far as I know.
Right. Matches that you referee for Ric Flair?
What about him now?
Any memorable main event matches for Ric Flair in the Crockett Promotions?
Well, the one that stood out for me and I remember, you know, as to this day was the Chi-Town Heat match with Ric Flair and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I had a chance to referee that match. So, that one still stands out, man. So, That's one I'd never forget. But I had a chance to work a lot of matches with Flair, you know, and I worked with him and Dusty and for the world title. I think I did a match with him and maybe Ronnie Garvin. So, you know, those guys were, you know, they were just great to work with, and you had the opportunity to learn a lot.
Right. And Dusty Rhodes was considered to be one of the good bookers during that time for the NWA and WCW. What's your memories of Dusty Rhodes as a main eventer and booker also?
Well, you know, Dusty, God rest his soul, you know, Dusty Rhodes gave me my first job. First job I had as for a referee, Dusty is the one that hired me. So I thought always real highly of Dusty. You know, he was a great entertainer, had a lot of charisma, you know, great athlete, you know, in his younger career. And, he knew how to draw, you know, how to draw people. You know, he had that way about himself, you know, that everybody liked. And one thing about that with Dusty, the same way he was on TV, that's the same way he was back in the locker room. And that's kind of what was with my character, not putting myself up with Dusty, but the same way that I am on TV for his player and all that stuff, that's the same way I am on the street, you know, as I talk to you right today. So I remember Dusty, you know, it's great. You know, I always will thank him, you know, for giving me the opportunity, and I just enjoy working with him, and I had a great time with him.
All right. What's your memories of Eric Bischoff being in charge of WCW?
Well, with Eric, he started out good, you know, trying to, you know, do the right thing and trying to make things work, you know. I was able to be that with him. I worked with him a lot. Me and him did a lot of stuff that I think we did a lot of international shows. A lot of people didn't see, but they were, I think at that time, you know, Canada and all that stuff, you know, you couldn't see them in the States like you can now, like you can see All Pro Japan wrestling. You know, I don't think the cable network may have been that far. I don't know. But like I said, I worked with Eric. I had a great time working with him. I knew his son, Garrett, who's grown up now, and he was a referee in TNA for a while. So my experience with Eric was great. You know, he gave me an opportunity, and I appreciate that.
You got to give him credit for turning WCW around for more to add more mainstream fans when they brought in the Hogan and Hall and Nash era.
Well, you know, the thing about that too, you know, you do have to thank Eric Bischoff for that, but you also got to thank those guys too, because those guys, Vince McMahon had already made those guys stars. He had made Hogan a star, Kevin Nash, and all those guys were stars because Vince had already done that. So it wasn't easy to bring them over and to do something with all of them. So, you know, you thank all those guys for, you know, for Vince, you know, making them stars. So when they did come over to WCW, you know what I mean, and start the NWO, it was a brand new thing. But, you know, what I think would happen there, you know, everybody's trying to put Vince out of business. You know what I mean? And you can't do that. Vince is a genius. He knows this stuff like the back of his hand. So, you know, he hurt a little bit there for a while. They did hurt him a little bit. But he's just like any other promoter that knows what he's doing. He just sit back and, you know, and just watch everything. And the next thing you know, WCW was folding and Vince was right back on top.
Also managed Ice Train and Jim Powers, what are your memories of managing them? And I think also
Bobby Walker.
Walker, yes.
Yeah, well, I remember with Bobby, you know, Bobby was great to be with. He certainly wanted to try to make it, but, you know, Bobby had some issues, you know, with some of the people there, you know, some of the guys that were, like, maybe in the office that, you know, he didn't get along with her. They didn't. Bobby, you know, was great, man. Bobby, you know, he just, you know, he had things that he wanted to do, and they didn't want him to do what he wanted to do, you know, and that's kind of, you know, the way it is. But some of the things that he wanted to do were good. They were good. I thought they were good. They were good for business, as they say now. But so he didn't really get along with the upper echelon, the office personnel. So I think that's what happened. After Bobby, I think they had a big lawsuit down in WCW, a big racism lawsuit. A lot of guys got a lot of money. And I think Bobby was one of those guys got a lot of money, and we never did hear from Bobby anymore. I wouldn't know where he is right as of this day. With Ice Train, you know, great. You know, he, you know, started out doing good. I thought he really cared about, you know, being, you know, in the wrestling business. Scott Norton, Jim Powers, those guys, Jim Powers, I really enjoyed working with him. I think he's on my Facebook now, and he sent me out some other day, so I did speak to him, you know, like a couple of weeks ago. Then I had another guy you didn't mention, but I think he's dead now, Joey Nags. He was another kid that, you know, they put with me, and we tried to get him over and everything. But, you know, like I said, it was just great to, you know, to be able to be a part of with all those guys, and being able to walk away from them and to go to somebody else and to be successful with somebody else just the way I was with them. So all good memories of all those guys are with me right now.
What is your first memories of going to WWE and meeting Vince McMahon?
When I first got there, the job they gave me was a referee. I first went to work with Vince as a referee, and the first time I saw him, I don't think he knew I was on the payroll. He knew I was a referee, but he really didn't know who I was. And he came over and he spoke to me, and then he realized, you know, who I was, and he talked to me for a while, and that was about it, you know. But Vince is, you know, he's a businessman, man. You know, he'll come, he'll talk to you, you know, and do what he's supposed to do, but. You know, Vince is always thinking about that dollar, man. So that's what anybody that works with Vince, that's the way they should have on their mind is that dollar. Because if you got your mind on that, then you Vince's guy. That's what he wants. He wants a person that's going to come to that company and going to make the company money. Because Vince said something one time that made a lot of sense. He said, you can't go to the money and draw you can't go to the bank and draw money out if you ain't putting none in there. So it's just that simple with him. But it was just great meeting him, and I'm glad I got a chance to really get tight with him after he put me in a general manager role. then me and him became a lot closer, because a lot of the stuff that I did on TV, a lot of the verbal stuff or stuff you heard me talk about, was Vince wrote most of my stuff. He was basically, you know, my writer. So anything that I went out and did, I was doing it for Vince. And so anytime you can satisfy the boss, and he's real picky, you know. So if you can satisfy him, you're doing a great job. That's why I was able to stay in my position for so long. So, you know, my memories of Vince are real great, and like I said, I will always thank him for the opportunity.
Yes. One of the number one wrestling promoters of all time, definitely.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Well, he's already proved that. You know, that really ain't no more territory. You know, it's just WWE now, and you got Ring of Honor, and you got TNA. I think that's about it. So, you know, those guys are going to have to come a long way to catch up with Vince. And then if I were them, I wouldn't even want to catch up with Vince. I just want to do my own thing, you know, create their own stars, try to make some money and live comfortable and don't worry about Vince. So you ain't going to catch him. He's gone, you know, so it's going to take, you're going to have to really step it up to get where he is.
Yes, I definitely agree. And I think at first you were starting to manage Rodney Mack and Mark Henry and Jazz. What's your memories of that faction?
Well, Rodney Mack, you know, I had him first, you know, just as a single. You know, we were doing a thing called the White Boy Challenge. So there's a lot of good memories with him. You know, it was always a really rib with me and Rodney Mack, because the guy, we used to come back and go to the locker room, and a lot of the guys said, you out there talking about the white man, and you're managing a guy that looks like he's white, and Rodney Mack did look like a white guy. But it was all a rib. We just laughed and talked about that. But then I had a chance to move on to Jazz, his wife, you know, they brought her in, and so Vince thought that that would be a good combination to put me with a girl, you know, manage a girl. I didn't have any managers that were managing women. So he, you know, Vince has a vision, and what he sees, you know, if he gives it to you, you just have to make it work. And so I made those work. I made that work with Jazz and Rodney, and also with Mark Henry. He came over as a tag team, and we became a tag team, Mark Henry and Rodney Mack, and then we had Christopher Nowinski. He was a part of that. And so, you know, like I said, the man, Vince has a vision. All he got to do is give it to you, and if you see it, all you got to do is get it out there.
Right. And was that true that Vince McMahon let you use some of your creativity when you became GM of SmackDown?
Was it true by what? Now, what was that question?
Gave you creative control over your promos.
Oh, over my character, my promos. Well, you know, like I said, you don't have full control. But he knew that he could trust me, and he knew that if he gave me something that he wanted me to put into my own words, he knew that I wouldn't go out there and say something on live TV that would put the company in trouble or cause the company some problems. So in a little bit, he did give me that. He created control over my character, because my character was me. And I was able to, you know, if there was something that maybe some of the other writers wrote that didn't sound right to me, that me as a black man wouldn't say, I would always go to him and let him know, you know, hey, man, I wouldn't say this. This is what I mean. And, you know, as long as you let him know what you're doing, you know, and don't go out there doing something that he don't know about or something, because he wants to know everything. So, you know, he did, in fact, give me that power, but I didn't abuse it. I was able to, you know, give him just what he wanted.
Do you have any memories of the Crystal Marshall storyline on SmackDown?
Oh, man, no, that was funny. The only great memories of that is my grandson, who is 12 years old now. He was a part of that. He was the ring bearer. So he was supposed to bring the ring down, and we were waiting on him, and he would never get down there. And I come to find out the reason he didn't bring it, he wanted to go pee, and they wouldn't let him go pee. So he decided he wasn't going to bring the ring down to the ring. So that memory I remember, and also it was great to have my wife there, you know, to watch me getting married. So that was real funny, and that was the first time my wife had a chance to go behind the scenes and you know, watch what I do. So she was just kind of excited about it. And then I wanted her to come see so she could understand a little bit better. But those were good. Vince created all that. I was able to go out and pull that off. And so those were good memories too, man.
What's your thoughts of Vicky Guerrero doing work with Vicky Guerrero on that SmackDown brand?
Vicky Guerrero was a great person to work with. She was the sweetest person you could ever meet, and she was always, you know, real careful about her character. You know, she would always come to me and, you know, check with me with stuff that she was going to do. And, you know, because I would always give her good advice. I would never tell her to do nothing wrong. I would always tell her stuff to do to me that, you know, I know that would make the people really hate her more. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just enjoyed working with her. She had great heat. People hated her. And I knew how to make the people hate her a lot more because of the things she did to me. All the people were just waiting on me, so one day Teddy Long's going to get her back. And those days did come. Vince made that work like that. But it was great working with her. I really miss her. She was a great GM, man. Had a lot. She had more heat than some of the boys. So once she got the hang of that thing, man, she ran with it. So Vicky was good. I really missed her.
Yes. She definitely did good with her her character on the show. Any memories of also working with Edge also? Edge
Like I said, me and Edge are good buddies right now. There are a few guys that I stay in contact with, and Edge happens to be one of them. In fact, I talked to him just the other day when I texted him, and because he's a dog lover, and you know I like dogs too, and so I always wish him happy Father's Day or whatever. Any holidays, I always get in touch with him and I always compliment him on the dog. So. I talked to him the other day. I saw a picture on Twitter that he had that was him and one of his dogs on there, so I let him know that. So he started following me on my Twitter, and my Twitter page is at Teddy Long. At Teddy Play Along. That's the Twitter. It's at Teddy Play Along. So Edge is now following me on Twitter, and Edge is a great guy. I talk to him all the time, man, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. So I'm just honored to be, you know, to know a person like him and to have been able to have worked with him.
Do you have any memories of your first WrestleMania?
All I remember is this: is boy, was I excited! I had never seen that many people fill up one arena in all my life, man. It was just great, man. My first WrestleMania, just to be a part of that, something that I've heard about all over the years. And then after a while, I had been working at Vince, so. You know, you don't jump in there right away and go to WrestleMania. Back at that time, you know, where you had to pay some dues, you had to work your way to get in WrestleMania. So to get in my first WrestleMania, man, you know, in fact, I was refereeing, but that don't mean that, man. I was just part of it, and that was really exciting.
Yes, that was the biggest stage. It's like the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Any thoughts of Triple H?
He's a nice guy. That's all I can basically tell you about him. I enjoyed working with him. I had a few things that I did with me and him, too. So he was always great to work with. Those guys are really, you know, super to work with because, you know, they know. They got a lot of experience, and they know what the hell they're doing. And when you're able to stand up there with them or to cut a promo or to do an interview or something with those guys, man, you got to feel good because you're up there with the pros. So that makes you feel good. And for them guys to, you know, to work with and get along with you, man, that's another, you know, feather in your hat. So to be able to be standing up there with Hunter, you know, and stuff and work with him was an honor for me, him and Stephanie, man, the whole family, man. It was just great to be a part of it.
Yes. Those are definitely one of those memories also.
Right.
Tommy, do you have any
I was gonna say this before I get away, man. You know, I was gonna let everybody know, you know, right now I'm pretty sure people are wanting to know what I'm basically doing. I'm doing a lot of independent stuff. There's a company in Mobile, Alabama called the Alabama Wrestling Federation that I'm running right now. So we're going to start, may have some TV started maybe next year, the beginning of next year, whatever. But right now I'm doing that, and also I'm open for bookings. You know, a lot of guys call me to come in on a lot of independent shows and be general manager for the night or come in and make a tag team match. I do a lot of Comic Cons, a lot of autograph signings. And so if you wanted to get in touch with me, you can go to my website at teddylongwrestling.com. My Twitter is at teddyplayerlong, and my Instagram is teddylongwrestling. So you can follow me on there. You can know exactly what I'm doing. And I'm just enjoying being out here. In fact, I got a lot of shows coming up here in January. I'm going to be in different places. And I'll be putting that out on my Twitter. So if I'm coming in your area or somewhere near you, man, you can come out to see me.
Awesome. Yes, it's an honor for you to be on Wrestling X Factor Radio. You can come back any time to the show.
Well, guys, I thank you guys for taking the time out to have me on your show. You know, and thank you again for even thinking about me. You know, like I talk to a lot of guys on the podcast, and I always let them know, you know, like, you know, everybody want to talk to you when you're on TV, but once you're off TV, you know, you don't hear from nobody. And so to hear from people, you know, when you're off TV, that means a lot to me, because that lets me know people are still thinking about me. And so you guys are in that group. You're thinking about me. And it's an honor for me to be on your podcast. And if I can come back again, whenever, you know, you got the time with Bacon, I'll be happy to do so.
Thank you, Kano. Thank you.
Hey, thank you guys very much, man, and I hope you guys have a happy holidays. And if I don't talk to you anymore, Merry Christmas to you, player. And just follow me on that Twitter. You'll know what I'm doing.
All right, holla, holla, right. Holla.
All right, holla, holla, player. I'm telling you.
All right, have a good one.
All right, take care, man.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Mac player himself, Teddy Long.
Oh wow! I was going excited over the phone. I mean, I was just losing my mind. I mean, it was incredible talking to him.
Right.
And
yes.
I would love to hear the stories. You know, more about the stories when he was going to roll with people, but you can't talk about those too much. That was
right. Yes. Yep. You never know who can say. At Wrestling X Factor Radio. Trump, you're next. Just kidding. And what's your opinion of TNA part of Pop TV Network?
That's right. They got a new contract, didn't they? TNA got a new contract.
Yeah, multi-year contract.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, it's like this: when you think you hit the cockroach, kill the cockroach, it's still moving. You know, sometimes cockroaches just don't die. But you know, TNA got second life, got more than nine lives. I have no idea what's keeping them afloat, but they're still a lot. You know, still going. It's not going strong. It is still going. I mean,
right.
Something, they got to be doing something right, or they got extreme luck on their side, because it's incredible. They should have been off TV 5 years ago. No, not that long. Maybe 3 years ago should have been off of TV.
Right. Top executive, TV executive, Brad Schwartz. They said Dixie had a good presentation. He came in with his staff, even higher-ups from CBS and Future Lions Entertainment. They both like the presentation, and also the executive TV is a big fan of wrestling.
Oh.
Even though they in 80 million homes, they don't. I heard they don't have a West Coast feed, but they're going to show a replay of Impact at 2 a.m. I guess that's in the works right now, and also it's not an HD channel. I guess that's in the works also. There's a lot of things that TNA and Pop TV that's associated with TV haven't come, and also even with their, like for Jesse Goddard on the TNA roster, he was on a reality show, Big Brother, in two seasons, and he appeared every other year for a cameo. And that speaks volume right there. Also, in Dixie, also a mark for those shows. And Survivor, they did have Jonathan Marasco with TNA, one of the worst matches ever between her and Solomon, Booker T's wife, Solomon.
Well, I know also, I did.
Right, you also have Amazing Race with Brooke Tessmacher and Robbie E as a couple on there. And this could work wonders also. This could might, when USA and WWE been partners for years under the NBC umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this means that they might have a special event one day on CBS Networks.
Yeah, that's long ways down the road. But, you know, even
right.
Teddy Long said they need to just do their own thing. But we've been saying on the Wrestling F Factor for a long time that if you do their own thing, and
right.
concentrate on what they have. See, everyone
right.
knows that. I don't know why Dixie's not seeing that. You know, because maybe she's too much of a mark to see that. You know,
right. I mean, they learning more. It's more different than alternative, but it's still certain people that should not be in charge of certain roles in TNA, like John Gilbert that came from WWE. But he was always special, but he never booked wrestling before. He just know WWE talent, not any other guys from other companies. And then also you have him on the contract, dealing with contracts that he has no experience with. And in which it backfired on him with Hernandez being and a contract with Lucha Underground, and it was a lot of heat between that that caused MVP to leave the company and others.
Mm-hmm.
And still, they haven't learned from that mistake also. And you also had Bob Ryder, another dick. It was one time, I think, one of the kids from, I think, the Children's Hospital was asking for, I think, Jeff Hardy or someone.
Mm-hmm.
Do, I think, a Make-A-Wish or something like that, and he had an attitude and stuff.
Oh, man.
Right.
That was classless.
Right.
He's definitely no John Cena. Not by a long shot.
In which TNA, they don't need to make no more mistakes. Not even
right.
with TV is that. P's
exactly.
and Q's. Don't send no idiotic email to them. To them <next.
laughs> You're right on that.
Right. Nope. Don't even steal a WWE storyline. Yeah.
But I don't. It seems like, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems like TNA does. There's one thing they do have in their favor. They do have young talent a lot of young wrestlers. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, do you have wrestlers that's like,
they have the talent.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they do have the talent, a lot of talent.
But they just got to, get everything together. I mean, come on. If they get this stuff together, they can really, 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 really do some good ratings. I mean, pull some good ratings.
Right. Right now, they're going to work on getting their viewership back, which they lost from Spikes, because half of them didn't have the Destination American network. And then they've been averaging over 200,000 viewers a week now and been going down, I guess, because of their they taped this like several months ago, and guys like James Storm is in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what caused the less not interesting, and also this long tournament they've been having. It seemed like they was trying to book once again, like the World Cup series, like. So, like, New Japan and All Japan style of bookings, in which a lot of people didn't care about. It's like the Bound for Glory series, sort of, and tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It should be over with by the end of this year, and they'll be live January the 6th of next year on Tuesday at 9 PM lives. Hopefully they do have a marketing team from Pop TV also. Hopefully mm-hmm. they get the word draw a huge number. I think the most viewers they've ever been on Pop TV since they've been around for several years. They used to be the preview channel. TV Guy channel.
Oh yeah, I remember. Wow, yeah, I remember TV Guy channel. Then they show a couple. They show any TV shows really. It's like advertisements and stuff and previews.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One memory they did show the free for all for WWE before the pay per view years back.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The billionaire tag skit.
Well, Wayne, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and we had a great interview. I mean, talking to Taylor, he's definitely a WWE Hall of Famer one day. Definitely going in, no question, without a doubt.
It can happen like that.
Yeah.
Of the Vince fans. Let it happen, mm-hmm. damn it. Yeah, let it happen. Get the play in there.
Yeah. All right, man. You rather effective. We had some good interviews and from some people and some of the great workers in the business on a rather effective. Wayne Benitez, the man. I talk to you later, man. Good night, everybody.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you liked the show. We killed it. Yes, we killed it. Great show. You can listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingIt Factor Radio or at Facebook fan page, Wrestling It Factor Radio / This Factor Entertainment Radio. For Tommy Two Chefs, this is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Coming to get it all. Get out of my way, I'm coming to thunder and lightning. Striking, I'm inviting you all to the storm. Feel the pain that I try to contain. My heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it all.
And yo, I'm praying to smash, whip ass. I can see the fear in your eyes every time that I pass. me or a soldier. I'm a disciplined, militant-minded.
Last time,
if you look for a style like mine, you can't find it. Call me the M to the ACK. I break moves if you wanna come and make my day. Now say,
hey, get out of my way. I'm coming to thunder and lightning and striking. I'm inviting you all to the storm.
I feel the pain that I'm trying to contain. My heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it in.
Hey, get out of my way. I'm coming to thunder and lightning and striking. I'm inviting you all to the storm.
I feel the pain that I'm trying to contain. My heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it on.
You know it's the Mac Militant. You know it's the Mac Militant. Yo, listen, I got a dream like Martin Luther, like Malcolm X, by any means necessary, strike. For the jugular, so that they remember ya. Every time I step in the room, I raise the temperature. I was meant for the crown, and I ain't laying it down, and I ain't waiting around. I'm invading your town. I'm a black soldier. The Mac will attack most ya, cause I lack composure and act like I'm not supposed to. It'll take an army to stop me. Well, haven't you seen the size of these arms and how I'm built so stocky?
What?
Built so stocky. You can't stop me.
Better watch it back. I'm coming and I'm ready for war. I'm ready to die. I'm a giant of beasts and I'm trying to eat. Surviving the street for my militants while we sing this.
You know it's the Mac Militant
coming again.